Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Snap, gets it. Just as the clock was ticking down, now he's going to throw back shoulder over the top. Reaching up, Metcalf makes the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks! Reaching up over the defender in the back of the end zone.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Steve Rabel, the voice of the Seahawks radio network. And our next guest, longtime defensive end in the NFL for both the Seahawks and the Lions. It was great to catch up with Cliff Averill in the last couple of days. And we so enjoyed our time with him at the Super Bowl that we thought it'd be fun to have him on the show again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Please vote in the After Hours Hall of Fame induction on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Cliff, we finally hit a bit of a lull with the NFL buzz after a couple of months and so much of the news and the storylines. How do you feel like the league navigated this weird spring?
You know, it's interesting. I was just having this conversation with a couple of my friends and just talking about the NFL, sports in general, but in particular the NFL. And it's interesting from the standpoint, like, the NFL is actually going about it as if nothing has changed. I mean, yes, you know, people aren't in the buildings and different things like that, but they're on Zoom calls. They're preparing for a season. You know, they're preparing as if it's going to be a normal season. And you know, you just hear about, again, like I just said, the Zoom calls. You hear about the virtual one-on-ones with the coaches and different things like that. They have adapted to this, and they feel like there's going to be a 2020 season. And they're until the president or somebody else says otherwise, they are going to have a season this year.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. It's like a freight train. They really don't slow down. But as you think about a virtual offseason, so for you, when you went through with the Lions and the Seahawks, this was not something that you had to deal with. But what would be the most difficult part, the most challenging part for you of not being with your teammates during the spring?
I think the hardest piece is depends on where you're at in your career. You know, if you're a young player, I think this is the most pivotal time. This is how you get better. This is how you grow. This is how you figure out what being a pro is like. You know, the season's the easy part. It's preparing for the season that is hard, right? Getting, you know, making sure you know the verbiage on the defense or the offense, building that camaraderie, the things that you can't necessarily do during the season. So I think that's hard. But as a veteran player and myself in particular, I didn't go to offseason workouts after year six. So it wouldn't have been a difference for me anyways, you know? So again, I just think it depends on where you're at in your career as far as for how this will affect you. And this is a young league. So I see it being very, very, it's on the other side of the coin for the young players right now. I don't think it's a good thing.
Why didn't you do the offseason stuff after year six? Why did you need it?
I mean, once you understand who you are as a football player, me as a pass rusher, I knew what I needed to work on. And also, I was living on the other side of the country. I lived in Charlotte while I played in Seattle. So I wanted family time. I wanted to be with my family. And I already knew how to kind of work out. And I knew what it took to be ready for the season. So it was all about family time and just working out on my own in Charlotte.
Cliff Averill is a former NFL defensive end with both the Lions and the Seahawks, as he mentioned, now joining us from Seattle after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. For young players who come in at your position, a pass rusher, what do you think will be the most difficult piece of not getting the reps in camp or, you know, in OTAs or in a rookie minicamp?
I think it's exactly what you just said, the reps. Because, I mean, it's one thing, you know, right now they're having these Zoom calls, and it's one thing for a coach to sit up there and tell you, hey, this is what you do, this is what the play call is, this is the technique you know, from film study and all those different things. But those X's and O's, they move once they say hike. So how do I adjust when they say hike? When they snap that ball, how do I adjust, right? And not getting those reps, I think, is what hurts the guys. You know, it's easy to get the film study, the book study, in, but getting the actual live reps, I think, goes a long way for younger players.
Mm. The Seahawks had Jadeveon Clowney on their roster last year. It's a guy that plays same position as you. How important was he to the Seahawks, Cliff?
Huge. I think, you know, the pass rush, unfortunately, they didn't have much of it last year. And he was one of the bright stars on that, bright stars on the front line of that defense. And, you know, you've seen it in some of those games, right? You've seen it against San Francisco on one of those primetime games where he just completely took over, you know, sack fumbles, touchdowns, all these different things. Like, he completely took over. And that's extremely hard to do as a D lineman, right? To take over a game. So it shows you what he's able to do. It shows you the impact that he brings to a defense. You know, it's sad that he hasn't, you know, figured out what he's going to do, but also that the Seahawks haven't really tried to retain him to hopefully bring him back. But he definitely is a playmaker for sure on any defense, especially the Seahawks last year.
Do you think they should? Because the door is not completely closed. Do you think they should pursue him and bring him back on the roster?
I think for both sides, I think it's the best move, right? I'm going to take it from Clowney's side first. I think for Clowney, and this just me being a person that's been through free agency and kind of got to pick where I got to go or whatnot, you know, when the market kind of dries up a little bit, like for Clowney, I'm assuming, so since it's so late into the offseason, it dries up a little bit. There's a few teams that, you know, want you, but if you're not going to get the money that you wanted or the contract that you wanted, you're going to probably sign a short-term deal. So if I'm going to sign a short-term deal, I'm going to go back to the space where I know the defense, where I know I can be productive. I was just in that defense last year. I know the players around me. I know what that defense calls for me to do. I'm going to give myself the best opportunity to be able to go out there and perform at a high level. No new scheme, no new coaches. It's all the same. So I would say that's the best move for him, coming from my vantage point. But then also for the Seahawks, I mean, you've tried to replace them. You've gotten some draft picks. You went and got Bruce Irvin. You went and got a few pass rushers, but a lot of young guys as well. A lot of guys that have big question marks, meaning you don't know what you're going to get from them, right? You don't know what you're going to get from these guys. So do you really go on do you go into the season with, man, and also just the circumstances right now, you don't really get to see them develop right now either.
Right.
So do you go into a season with a bunch of question marks, or do you grab that one guy that you know what he brings to the table? You know, so I think both sides need each other.
Cliff, I wasn't really planning to ask you about this, but you mentioned your own process in free agency. If you could take us back to that, and it turned out to be incredible, right, because you win a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. But what was the determining factor or factors that led you to Seattle?
There's a few different things, but I would say the biggest thing coming to Seattle, at that time they were on the rise. You know, they had a playoff run. They lost to Atlanta the year before. They were known for their defense at the time. The defense was really good. But, you know, it's the Pacific Northwest. That Pacific Northwest team out there, it's still kind of iffy. You know, being from Detroit, being in Detroit, you didn't really catch too many of their games or any of that stuff. But as a defensive player, I knew what they were able to do. And at the time, you hear talking about Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Brandon Brown or Cam Chancellor, all these guys on the back end, LOB, and you hear all this throughout the league. And for me, I knew if my DBs were pretty good, that would give me a split second longer to be able to get to the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the main defining reasons why I decided to come to Seattle, was because I knew I would have the opportunity to be able to get after the quarterback. Get a split second longer to get after the quarterback so I can have some production.
He's a Super Bowl champ, was with the Seahawks and the Lions as a defensive end. Cliff Averill, I guess I should say your name. Cliff Averill, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So you're still in Seattle, Cliff. Why did you stay? I can hear your, kiddos in the background there.
yes, kids are definitely at home right now. I moved to Seattle for multiple reasons. Obviously, winning the Super Bowl in a city – And and playing, you know, a decent role in that process. I think the big, you know, it's only right, you know, to come out here from that perspective. But also, you know, in Seattle, you get to meet so many different people. So many different people are doing well in whatever sector they're in. You know, the tech industry here is booming. There's just a wide range of different connections and networks that you can make out here. And for me, I think it just made sense from a transition standpoint to just move back out here and still have that network, but also that family feel, because I can still go to the, you know, Seahawks facility and still, you know, talk to Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, you know, Cam Chancellor and all those guys, they moved out here. Richard Sherman lives out here. So just keeping that family closeness, I guess, with all these people, you know, plays a big role in why I wanted to be out here as well.
It's crazy to think about when you and I crossed paths at the Super Bowl. Now, this was in Miami, of course, and it was it was actually late January. So, last week of January, and couldn't have been farther away from, you know, where you are in Seattle now. And we have a chance to sit down, do an interview. The Chiefs go on to win this incredible Super Bowl, the comeback over the Niners. And then in the blink of maybe a couple of weeks, things completely change. I mean, when you think about that, oh gosh, you know, what's your perspective?
It's crazy. I mean, you talk about that, you know, just being in February, you know, and then a few weeks later, you're like, oh, the whole country, the whole world is on lockdown, you know, and it feels like it's been so long ago too, right? A lot of people have been in the house. I know we've been quarantined for the last 3 months, basically, right? And so much is going on, like so much has changed, I guess, even in the way we do communication and all these different things. Just it's just crazy. But I will say that at least out here, and you know, I have family in Florida, which they're handling it completely different from out here in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle. But I will say it's great to see you know, families just walking around. You know, I go out my neighborhood and everybody's going on walks. Everybody's, you know, going on bike rides. I think this was needed from, I say this loosely, it was needed from the perspective of slowing things down for people and getting back to the fundamentals of what life is really about, which is pouring into your kids, which is pouring into your family, being there for them, and the things that really matter, which is them, you know. And that's kind of been my approach through this whole process is, I'm embracing it because it gives me a time to slow things down, but also just being around my family. And it made me realize, like, man, a lot of people spend more time with my kids than I do. You know,
when
you think about how much they're in school and different things like that. It's like, oh no, I need to be more of an impact in my kids' life. So it just slowed things down and it made you value it a little bit more.
How old are your kids?
I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Oh my gosh. And have they really enjoyed having you home?
I think they did initially, but then when they start realizing they're not going back to school and, yes, daddy said you need to do this. No, you can't play with your iPad. You know, you start to get the looks like, what do you mean I can't play with my iPad, you know, type thing. But I think on the back end, though, it'd be, you know, 5 years from now. Like, remember the time we all, you know, used to do movie night every other night or whatever theme we have for the day. I think those memories are being created.
Cliff, before I let you go, you and your family have the Cliff Averill Family Foundation. It's certainly a unique time for charities and for foundations as well. What ways have you found to kind of help out and to kind of, you know, pitch in during the spring?
Oh, man. You know, myself, Jamal Crawford, Zach Levine, there's been a few different pro athletes that have done some things here in the city of Seattle. But we all decided to partner up and pick out different organizations that we were going to donate money to. So for me in particular, my foundation, and then personally, I donated $25,000. My foundation donated $25,000. And we went to a few different organizations, one in particular, the Boys and Girls Club of King County. They were providing food for kids that were out of school the month of April. So we decided we were going to pay for all the kids' meals for the month of April because we assumed that they were going to go back to school in April until they said they weren't sending the kids back. But it was all about more so just worrying about the kids, because a lot of kids in the inner city right now, you know, they depend on the food at school. Obviously, learning is a big part of it, but, you know, breakfast and lunch was a big part of their day as well. So I wanted to make sure that they didn't skip a beat from at least getting their meals for the day, and just being able to help some of the families out as well.
Mm. You can find Cliff on Twitter at Cliff Averill, and then also the link to his family foundation if you want to learn more. And which one of your kids is that with you in the photo?
That's my oldest, I believe, in the photo. That's my oldest. He, you know, he's gone to every single football game.
Aww.
My youngest, he just started getting into it, and then obviously I had to retire or whatnot. But, my babies. Back to the Family Foundation, though. Yes, check out Cliff Averill, familyfoundation.org, to see all the different things that we're doing in the community through the COVID relief and some of the things we've been doing in the past as well.
No better way to help people than to offer them meals. I mean, that's the most basic need that we have as human beings. So, Cliff, it's great to talk to you. Yeah, and we're happy to share this, and we appreciate a couple of minutes. And maybe next time we'll get to cross paths in person again, we'll be through all of this.
Yeah. I agree. Stay safe out there. Stay healthy, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Cliff Averill, a conversation that we had recently, and in Seattle, love to hear him talk about why he stayed. He actually moved cross country after he finished playing. He was living in Charlotte. He was playing in Seattle, won a Super Bowl, really fell in love with the community, and decided that that's where he wanted to raise his kiddos. And so really cool to talk to him. And then while so many athletes and celebrities and those who have the opportunity are using their foundations to provide relief during the spring, it's awesome to hear about Cliff's foundation that's directly feeding kiddos and families who are struggling because of lost jobs and lost income. So awesome to talk to Cliff. And we really just had this moment where we kind of had to pinch ourselves. Wait a minute, we spoke not that long ago. Well, it seems like it wasn't that long ago. And it was in Miami. And that's when we met for the first time. And he was on the show. And now, wow, 3 months ago. And yet so much has changed in these few short months. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you miss any of our interviews or any of the show, we podcast the entire thing without breaks every weekday morning. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our Twitter. And then you could go directly to the website, afterhoursamylawrence.com. We're asking you to vote for the latest Hall of Fame inductee. We've got four very worthy candidates. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, named after the show. And then our phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Still to come on the show, Mark Vaccaro, who covers New York baseball. And the baseball landscape in general is just odd and weird, and everybody's got opinions and wanting to weigh in. Plus, we've got some QB news still ahead. We're glad to hear from you, as always, 855-212-4CBS. 2 hours left in our work week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.